you here this morning to bless us and them as we have this special service. So Arlen's going to share the message with us this morning, and then in our Sunday school time, Arlen's also going to be sharing with us more of the story of New Horizons Ministries and what all they do out there, and hopefully some details maybe in what Eric's going to be doing and the work that God has called them to. So for now, Arlen's going to share God's word with us, what God has laid on his heart. So Arlen, let's have prayer, and we'll hear what God has to say through you. Father, this morning, we are gathered in your name, in the name of Jesus, and we ask, Father, that you would come by your Spirit and move and work in this service. Father, we commit it to you, and we commit Arlen to you as he speaks your word. May you put your words in his mouth and put your Spirit on him. And Father, for our hearts, Father, help us to open them to what you have to say to us. We believe that you have a message for us, and we want to hear from you this morning. And so it's in Jesus' name that we ask this. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Well, it is very good to be with you all this morning. And just to see the lush green Pennsylvania. It's very good to be here. Many familiar faces. Many of you have been to Colorado, and it's good to see you here this morning. Eric and Sheila, how are you doing? Finally, it's just like, let's get this over with, right? let's move on. You know, everything's in boxes for so long, and trust that God's grace is sufficient, and that you felt his leading in the journey up until now. Looking forward, feel very honored, actually, to be here with you this morning, and celebrate, I guess, or just to, you know, when God calls us to a work, that's a very, very special thing. And really, really all of us are called, and we'll talk about that as we go along this morning. I'm going to try to pronounce the name of this town, and I don't know if I can. Wimmelsdorf? Is that how you say it? Wimmelsdorf. I don't know. Anyway, I just think that town, whenever you talk about it, should be once upon a time in a land far, far away. There was a little town called Wimmelsdorf or something like that. I don't know. I'm not used to the name. But anyway, it's good to be here. One of the things that I just like to, I guess, right as we begin this morning is, you know, I don't know you all very well. You don't know me very well. But we're all on this journey of life, and when you look at me, I'm gonna kind of jump in the deep end right away just to get there. I'm used to talking to my staff. I'm not used to preaching or talking to a church, so it's just we kind of just jump right in the middle of it right away. But when you look at me, you don't see someone that was held at gunpoint and robbed, or someone that experience sexual abuse, but both are true. And when I look at you, you know, we dress up pretty nice on a sunny morning. We come in here, and it all can look pretty good. But my guess is that there's parts, maybe for most of us, there's parts of our story that have pain in it as well. This world's not perfect, right? Life can be tough. At times, God is good, God is faithful, but we live in a broken world. I was asking God what I should share this morning, and just felt really led to this. It's actually it's something I share with our staff as they come in, but it's a little vulnerable, so bear with. I hope we can get that way real quick this morning, even though we don't know each other very well. There's two lies, I believe, there's two lies that we believe in life so easily. And some of it is the things that happen to us. The first lie is, I'm not all that special. Or I'm not special. I don't know if you can relate to that. Another lie that I believe we believe is that I'll never do anything great. Now, if you were staff, I would say, how many of you believe that? And you can raise your hand. But something that I struggled with going up, some of the things that I went through, those were two lies. Not that special. And I won't do anything great. I want to read out of Psalm 139. And you know this scripture. But you don't have to turn there. I'd rather just close your eyes and listen to the words of this psalm and let it minister. If that lie is in your heart this morning, I'm not that special, let this minister to you. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. How awesome is that? The God of the universe, the creator of all things, has searched us and he knows us. He doesn't just know our name. He knows us better than we know ourselves. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Everything that you've ever done, every place you've ever been, those times when you felt so alone and it was hard. God knows. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. Some of us don't even know what the next words are coming out, right? But God does. God knows the words, the next words that are going to be coming out of our mouth. I think Francis Chan said it so well. He says, it's crazy, if you think about it, the God of the universe, the creator of nitrogen and pine needles. I have no idea why he picked something so far apart. Nitrogen and pine needles. Galaxies and E minors loves us with radical, unconditional love. Just let that soak in and erase that lie. Not that special. Yes, you are. God loves you with radical, unconditional love. If God like that loves you, you are special. Are you convinced? Do you know that? Through all the hard, whatever those things, if you were up here and you would have said, here are two of the hardest things that ever happened to me, what would those things be? And through all of that, God loves you and you are special. Goes on, jumping down to verse 13, it says, for you created my inmost beings. You knit me together in my mother's womb. God put us together. He was hard at it when he put Eric together, right? Put us together. Gave us those gifts, those abilities, those talents, those interests. He knit us together in our mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. Love this. God was taking care of us. He knew us right from the very beginning. Saw my unformed body. The next phrase that I like to spend a little time on, it says, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. So God knew. God knew this morning. From the foundations of the world, God knew this morning that we would be here and you have a precious new little one on your lap. He knew every person that was going to be in this building. The days of our life were ordained before the first one came to be. There was a plan for your life and mine. When God was knitting you together in your mother's womb, putting you together and all, everything that makes up who you are, he was planning your life. So can we hold that thought just a little bit? All right, so he's planning your life. He's knitting you together. You are special. Let's hold that over here a little bit. What does God think about when God is going through his daily routine and doing the things that God does? What's on his mind? What are the things? What does he think about? You know, we know that God knows all things. He looks down and he sees everything that's going on in this world. But what does God think about when he sees children that are starving? Hard to believe, but every 10 seconds, this is just heavy, but every 10 seconds, a child dies that would not have had to die if it had proper nutrition. Every 10 seconds. when God looks down and He sees an old person, a widow or a widower, sitting alone in their home, what does He think? I don't know if you have a neighbor like that. We do. We have right across the street, Wilma. She's, I think, 93 years old, still living by herself. About, I think, maybe once every other week her grandson comes to visit her. Other than that, she's there by herself. What does God think about when He looks down and sees Wilma? What does He think about when He looks down and sees people sitting in prison? You know, we don't think about, or most of us don't think about prisoners very often. We're kind of in the middle of it there. You've heard of Death Valley, right? If you Google Prison Valley, Canyon City comes up. There's over 9,000 men incarcerated in our county. Within 15 miles from my house, over 9,000 people incarcerated. When God looks down and He sees those men, what does he think about? 105,000 people are martyred for their faith. Christians are martyred for their faith every year. And God's seeing this stuff. What goes through His mind? And I could go on and on. More slavery now than ever before in history. Homeless people, I don't know if you have a problem with homelessness around here, but out in Colorado we have a big problem with that. And a lot of people that live that lifestyle, that's their destination because there is recreational marijuana there. And so people come from talk with one of our local, someone that runs a local homeless shelter. And in the previous year, there was over 250 new people that signed into the homeless shelter, over 250 people from 180 different zip codes. When God looks down and He sees these needs, what goes through His mind? You know, I really believe, I don't think that it's God's plan at all for these needs to just go unmet. I don't think God's okay with children not having a home to be in. I don't think He's okay with people dying and never having the opportunity ever to hear about His Son, Jesus. I just don't think God is okay with that. You know, from little up, and many of us have been taught the Lord's Prayer. And in the middle of that prayer, there's this phrase that I would miss so many times because, you know, you can kind of start Our Father which art in heaven, put it on autopilot. You can think about lunch and all that, and the words are still coming out of your mouth. But right in the middle of that prayer, it says, "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth just as it is in heaven." So what does God want it to look like? He wants earth to look a lot like heaven. He's not okay. I don't believe God's okay with needs going unmet. And is there a chance that when God is knitting you together in your mother's womb, that some of these are more, these needs are on His mind? Going to knit Him together, and I'm going to give Him just a passion for people that are in prison and people that are coming out. How do we work with them? These people need help. Savannah is going to get out of prison someday, and she needs someone to work with her. Susan is going to get out of prison someday, and somebody's going to need to be there, or she's going to be right back inside again. More personal for me is three of our children. We fostered 17 children during our time as a foster family, and God blessed us to adopt three of them. So knit them together. We need somewhere for Davian to go. Need somewhere for Trinity to go. Need somewhere for Alicia to go. And He knits us together, and He puts a passion in my heart for children that need a home. He's knitting you together in your mother's womb. And there's something on His mind. He's seeing some need. There's something that He wants you to do. One of our beliefs and expressions at New Horizons is that everyone has a special calling on their life to make a significant difference in the kingdom. Everyone. You know, I think sometimes we get this thing that, well, if you're getting your paycheck from a mission, And then that's kind of like, you know, there's more responsibility for ministry in that. And I really don't think so. I think we're all called. It doesn't matter if you drive truck or whatever else you do around here. We are all called to ministry. Everyone has a special calling on their life to make a significant difference in the kingdom. And if that's the case, so we address the whole idea, the whole lie of I'm not that special. And now we're addressing this lie of I'm not going to do anything great. God has a calling on our life. He's ordained us. There was a need, something that He wanted us to change. And so He created us to do that. Ephesians 2, verse 10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to have a good and prosperous life." Doesn't say that, does it? "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to be cared for and nurtured in our journey of life." Doesn't even say that. "Or to take care of myself and my family." That's not what it says. It says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So there's this thing that each one of us, as God put us together, there is this, God had some good works. He had some things that He wanted us to change. Is something supposed to be different because of my life? Something's supposed to change. "Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." And I don't have scripture for this, and if you know of a scripture that would apply to this, let me know. But I believe that the reason there are still needs in the world today is not because God doesn't have a plan for them to be met. The reason there are still needs, I believe, is because we, the church, aren't doing all that we should be doing, or we could be doing. And that's kind of heavy, and it brings a bit of maybe condemnation to us. But I don't believe that the needs in this world are not met because God doesn't have a plan. God's not up there wringing His hands, thinking, "What are we going to do with this mess?" I believe He has a plan, and He's called the church, the bride of Christ, to step in and make a difference. So if that is true, if that is true, that there's still some needs, and I don't know what your needs are here, I'd love for you just let your mind go a little bit. And what are the needs of your community? Why did God choose to put Wilmelsdorf, something like that, church in this community? What was when He was knitting this church together? What was He thinking? What was the difference that you were supposed to make? So there are needs, and possibly, I believe, it's because the bride, the church, has not stepped up. But that's not going to be, it's not going to be us that doesn't step up, right, Eric? We're going to step up. And I don't know many names, so I'd pick on a few more of you guys. We're going to step up. If God has some good works for us that are ordained before the foundations of the world, we're going to step, it's not going to be us. It's not going to be us that drops the ball. Henry Varley, in a conversation with D.L. Moody many years ago, he said, "The world has yet to see what God can do with one man that is fully committed to Him." And I don't know, there's something that just kind of stirs something deep, right? Well, the world has yet to see, like, what if God would choose me to be that person? What if I would be fully committed to Him? That conversation so stirred D.L. Moody that he would repeat that same line, but at the end he would always say, "By God's help, I am to be that man." What would it look like? What would it look like to be fully committed to Him? Another quote from Jim Cimbala says, "I despair at the thought that my life might slip by without God showing Himself mighty in my life." What if at the end of our lives we would sit on the front porch somewhere with a few friends, old timers, and I kind of get this picture almost of these old soldiers that were through the battle together, and they're rocking back and forth on their rocking chairs, and they're talking about the stories from way back. Remember that time when we were in this fix, you know? It was those hard times. It was those times that you pressed through. It wasn't the easy times. It wasn't the easy life. It was, look what happened because we stepped out. Or maybe it's a husband and wife. They've been married for 50 years, and they're on their front porch, or maybe in their living room, rocking back and forth, and they're talking about 45 years ago. And they're talking about look what God did. Remember when we didn't have enough money in the checking account, we don't even know where the money came from or whatever that story is. And you look back and you see those times when God came through, and you brag about Jesus for what he's done. But what if you would look back on your life and there wasn't any of that? I despair at the thought that my life might slip by without God showing himself mighty through my life. I want that to happen. And I know there's many of you that want that to happen as well. What would it look like if God would just show up? You know the verse, without faith, it is impossible to please God. We know that, without faith. And I was listening to a message recently, and this whole idea that when you need faith is when you take a risk, when there's danger involved. We don't need, faith is just, when we're just coasting through life, we just don't need a lot of faith. But when we take a risk, when something big is about to happen, that's when we need faith. And he made the comment, and this was just his perspective, but he said, maybe without risk, it is impossible to please God. If we're not stepping out and doing something for God, and we can do that. I was just blessed as Eric, as we went through the interview process, and just to hear the ministry that Eric had to other truckers, people that he would reach out to at his job, a former job, and even some of the stories from the ambulance. Can you imagine someone calling 911 just to have someone to talk to? Just right in the ambulance. I don't know, but no matter where you're at, there's something significant. That you, God can work through you. And I pray, Eric, that as you get older and you look back at life, that you will see, and for Sheila as well, that you will see God showing himself mighty, mighty through you. But we still live in a sin-cursed world, right? We still live in a place with so many people. Some of the things that are really, really many needs. So many things that, what's on my heart, I should say, my calling. And I don't know, some of you may connect with this. Maybe not, it's okay. God has a different calling on your life than he does on mine. But I'm not okay that 9,000 prisoners live within a 15-mile radius of my house, and most of them do not have a full-time chaplain. The chaplain position in Colorado is not paid. So there are wide open doors for chaplains. So I'm going to do what I can to provide them with chaplains. One of the things that we're able to do in Colorado, to be a chaplain, in the past you needed to have a degree in ministry to be able to be a full-time chaplain. And we were able to write up a program that we can actually have go through an apprentice program. And right now I think we have. Two of our chaplains only have an eighth grade education, and they are in ministering in prison. We're going to do what we can to make so that as many of those guys have a chance at getting to know Jesus. This here one's a little tough, and maybe stuff like this doesn't happen in Pennsylvania. But I'm not okay that there are kids handcuffed to fence posts for punishment, or fed horse feed and water. This is some of the things that I volunteer at Department of Human Services twice a month, and we review cases that happen in our county. And these are just a few of the things that we reviewed and looked for ways to treat. children handcuffed to fence posts for punishment, or fed horse feed and water, and the whole deal of as a consequence, you eat the horse feed and then drink the water, and it would bloat their stomach. That was how that was the abuse that this child was under. And it even gets worse. 11-year-old girls told that any good dad will make sure everything works in an immoral way. I'm not okay with that. I'm not okay with that. And I believe my life, my passion, is to make a difference there. I don't know what it is that breaks your heart. I don't. What is it when God knit you together in your mother's womb? What is the thing that when you hear that happen, you just like that? Question that I heard a preacher ask one time: what is it that makes you pound the table and weep? We're Mennonites, right? We kind of keep our emotions under control, and we're kind of. But what just stirs up? This cannot happen. Cannot happen. Our county that we live in is one of the worst in our state for sending juveniles to prison. I'm not okay with that. Not on my watch. We're going to do what we can to rescue those kids before they get sent to juveniles. So I don't know. I don't know what stirs in your heart. What is that? What is that cause? Is it children? Is it prisoners? Is it slavery? Is it the abuse that sometimes happens right in our conservative circles? What is that thing? What is that thing that God called you to do? So much of our life is given to pursuing the American dream, right? I have a right to pursue happiness. And I've heard it said already, the American dream is to gain it all. To gain it all. But the kingdom dream is to lose it all. Lose it all for Christ. Give it all up. God, I surrender. I'll give it all up. I just want to see what would it look like to be totally surrendered to you? What would it look like for you to do a work in my life? So I don't know what that is for you. And I would just love to pause for a few minutes, if that's okay. And that God would speak to our hearts, and what is it? Because I know there's ministry happening. I don't want this to come across like you're not doing anything. That's not what I'm saying. But what if there's more? What if God wants to do more through your life? What is that thing that stirs? And I would love to just spend just a minute, and for us just silently ask God. What that thing is. When the good works that you ordained for me before the world began, what are those things? Am I living in them? So let's pause, and then I'll have a word of prayer, and then turn it back to the brother. So let's pause. Lord, we just pause in your presence this morning. Thank you that you are our Heavenly Father. Thank you that you've called each one of us to make a difference somewhere. God, thank you that you know us. You know our everything that we've been through. You know our journey of life. That you loved us enough, Lord, to send your only Son to die and to pay the price for our sins. And Lord, that lie that we're not that special. I'm really not that great. I'm other people are. It's just better than I am. Lord, that lie. I just pray that the truth would sink in this morning and heal us of that. And Lord, also the lie that I'm never going to do anything great. God, the calling that you've placed in our lives, whether it's driving truck or plumbing or working at a at a ministry, or being a stay-at-home mom, or a secretary, or whatever those callings are, wherever those places of ministry that you've placed for us, that is a special calling, and that we are to make a difference there. And Lord, I just pray that the needs of this community, I just pray that the statistics of this small town, Lord, this community here would be different because of this church. And that we could actually take responsibility for the needs around us and make a difference. And Lord, I just pray now that you would bless each one here who has reached out, each one who has taken an interest in those different causes minister to the needs right around them. Lord, I pray a blessing on that, and that would grow. And that ultimately, Lord, ultimately, all this is for your glory and for your praise. God, it's not about us. It's not about New Horizons. It's not about any other organization or church. It's about lifting you up and glorifying you because of what you've done. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
In the Songs of Faith and Praise, turn to number 76.
O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. My soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art.
Thank you, Keith, for that song. What an amazing God we serve. He created the worlds. He's a star-breathing God, and He invites us to be part of His work in His kingdom. And thank you so much, Arlen, for your message. May God bless you for sharing that with us. I don't know what was stirring in your mind as he spoke, but there are lies that we believe about ourselves and lies that Satan has gotten us to believe about God. And I appreciate you addressing some of those lies this morning, that we are not that special, but God has created us special. We can never do anything great, and yet everyone has a special calling on their life to do something that is great in His kingdom. We have that calling. God has placed us that calling on us. And He invites us to be part of the work of His great kingdom, of the great God that we sang about, how great thou art. He invites us to come and to be a part of that work. But somehow we have traded the eternal for the temporal, the temporary, the things in this life. We've traded away what really matters. And we've put in its place things that don't really matter, things that are going to be temporary, that aren't going to last. But He invites us to join us in the work of His kingdom even yet, wherever we're at, wherever we are in life. We have the opportunity to be a part of that work and to do something. And we don't have to go to Colorado, to New Horizons. We don't have to do that. We can touch lives where we're at today, where we work, where we interact with people in convenience stores and in other places. God gives us opportunities to touch lives wherever we're at in life. The question is, are we willing to accept that calling and invest in what is eternal and what really matters? And so as with those thoughts, as we move on into the commissioning part of the service, you know, it's exciting for me as a pastor and as part of the church family here at Wilmersdorf to have people from our church family answer the call of God on their life, both here within our community in reaching out to see that happening, and also to hear people answer God's call to leave the familiar here and go to other parts of our world, whether it's Cambodia or Bangladesh or Colorado, wherever it may be. It's exciting to see people answering God's call and hearing that voice and answering and going and being involved in God's kingdom in other parts of the world. And it means sacrifice. It means giving. It means leaving and moving, and it's a lot of work. And so it's an opportunity that we have this morning to bless Eric and Sheila as they go and hear, as they go in response to God's call in their life to go and work with New Horizons in Colorado. Before we get into some other things in the commissioning, Trulin's family has been asked to share a couple numbers of song with us this morning. So I think we're going to give our attention to them here at the beginning, and they can share a couple of songs with us.
Yes, we're going to share two songs, one with Good News with Mark and Cheryl and Lewis, and then one with my wife and our oldest daughter. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And God does have a call. He has things that he's calling us to do. But so many times we do good things. It's so easy to do them for the wrong motivations. And another lie that Satan tries to get us to fall for is that we need to do good things to earn God's approval, to earn our salvation. We need to do good things so God will like us, so God will accept us. We don't do the good works to earn God's favor. We're not saved because of the things we do. Another lie that Satan tries to get us to fall for is he tries to get us to do good things so that we avoid God's wrath. We do good things to appease God's wrath, to sort of pay him off so he won't punish us. We don't avoid God's wrath because of good things we do. We're saved from the wrath of God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And this song was requested by Eric and Sheila. It's a song of resting, and it uses the picture, again, that Jesus used of a sparrow. And if you come here to church and heard us sing before, you've probably heard this song before. But the message is a great song, a great message. And yes, we are created to do good works in Christ. But we don't do those things to earn his favor, and we don't do those things to avoid his wrath. But we trust and rest in him that he will care for us, not only physically, but also eternally in our salvation and rest like a sparrow in the shadow of his wings.
No man can fall from your face.
guess the thought that really stuck out to me with the message was when Arlen was describing, you know, pounding the table in anger and weeping at needs or things that are wrong in the world. And it really struck me because, you know, I know what makes me rejoice. I know what I know some of the things anyway that I do that make me feel fulfilled. And I guess as you know, where I'm at, I should know where God's calling me to by now, right? But I had to think, you know, I know what makes me rejoice, but what makes me weep? What makes me weep? And if I'm honest, other than my own personal pain, there's not a lot that has made me weep real recently, outside of myself. And so I was really challenged by that. What needs make me weep? What is God calling me to? The burden, and that's kind of the thought that came with me from the message. We're going to sing another song here. We're going to do this one a cappella. And this is one that Darlene and I sang in our wedding. It was just a duet back then, and now it's a trio this morning. So.
Lord, we are standing here before your throne today. We long to know your will. We long to hear what you will say. We thank you for your Son who gave himself a sacrifice. We long to give ourselves to you as he gave up his life. So give us hearts to love you more than any other thing. Give us minds to know your will in everything. Give us hands to do the work you'd have us do, so the world may know that our lives belong to you. Lord, how we long to know that you are close at hand. We long to feel your touch. We need your strength to help us stand. We thank you that you hear us, and we know you always will. For your grace and for your mercy, we are pleading still. So give us hearts to love you more than any other thing. Give us minds to know your will in everything. Give us hands to do the work you'd have us do, so the world may know that our lives belong to you. So the world may know that our lives belong to you.
Thank you, Good News, and Trulin's family for those songs. And I trust that you have found rest in the shelter of the wings of the one who loves you and that truly cares about the needs of your heart. And as Eric and Sheila go, that they can find rest in the shelter of those wings, through the changes, through the challenges, and through the good times, that they can find rest in his care. That the world can see that our lives belong to you. And as we think of Eric and Sheila going, and as we think of us as a church, as of them moving on from our church family physically, still being a part of us, but being at a different part of the world, there's a couple things that come to mind as I think of a commissioning service, and some of them, I believe, are for Eric and Sheila's benefit, that this is a place of a public acknowledgement of the call of God on their life, that God has called them to this work, and it's a public acknowledgement of that call, kind of maybe a stake in the ground, so to speak, where they can look back when Satan does bring doubts and things that we really did believe in, as we look back at the past and see what we've come through, that they can look back and be convinced, even through difficult times, that God's call was there on their life, that a place where I can go back to say that I do believe He has called me, and I believe that He has a purpose and a plan in spite of the way that I'm feeling at a particular point on my journey. But I believe just as important, it's important for us as a church family that this is not a farewell service. It's not a goodbye and God bless you as you move on from here and they're gone and we're here and we kind of out of sight, out of mind type of a thing. But it's not. It's our way. It's not the ending of a relationship with them. It's a change in the relationship for sure. But one of the goals of this service is for us as a church family to acknowledge our partnership with them as they go to serve God in a different part of our world, that we are going to partner with them in this work. As they are going, we are going. Through our prayers, through our financial support, through our communications to them, our support to them in many different ways, we can be a part of the ministry there in Colorado as we give and as we support and as we pray. So I think it's an important place for us as a congregation, as a church family, to make that commitment that we are going to support them and we are going to be a part of their work. And I've asked Eric and Sheila, Eric, to share a bit here just as a bit of their journey up to this point, how God has led them, and a bit of a testimony as we go from here. So, Eric, we'll give our attention to you for a couple minutes. You can come up here, yeah.
All right, well, yeah, we are extremely blessed this morning to be here and to be getting ready to leave. It's been an incredible journey so far. And to see where God has taken our lives, and He's taken the brokenness, the wrecked lives that we create, He can take and He can make something beautiful out of it. And He has, as was heard this morning, that He has that He designed us for something, and to look for that plan. Just a kind of a quick history on us. I guess the burden for more prison work was really birthed maybe about a little over 6 years ago, after I had rolled a truck that I was driving, and at the time I was not living for God, and that accident was a wake up call for me. And I was laid up for about a month with the injuries that I did have, and it was just a time of really reflecting for me. God, why did you save me? Why am I still here? What do you have for my life yet? And so during that time, it came into my wife and my heart separately. It was really interesting. I hadn't talked to her about it. She hadn't talked to me about this particular event. And I felt God calling me to minister into prison work. And when we were leaving the event, she looked over at me and she said, "You know what? I think God's calling you into prison work." And it was just like, wow. And so that started a whole journey of me doing volunteer work in a prison county prison out in Indiana where we were living at the time. We moved back here, and what was really burdening my heart, what was breaking my heart, was working with these guys at a county level. They'd come in for a couple months, just do a short 90-day, six-month sentences. They'd get out, and they'd be out for a couple months. And then you guess who shows up the next time you come in, hear these guys sitting again. And there's just this repeated cycle. And the how high the revisitation rate for incarcerated inmates is. And it was just really burdening me that there needs to be something other than these state-run programs for helping people once they get out of prison. And that kind of became my heartbeat. My desire was to work with aftercare, helping guys coming out. And so I got hooked up with a organization down in Reading, and I was working down there for several years. And so I felt fulfilled there. I felt like that was God was calling me. And then a couple years ago, the house that I was working in got shut down. And so I was like, okay, now what? What are you trying to teach me here? And I'd actually kind of thought that I was maybe done with that. And I really poured my heart into, I'm a local firefighter and EMT. And so I just started pouring my heart into working with the people that I do there, and really became involved and really enjoyed doing that. And then last August, we've been praying for a little while that God would give us something as a ministry that our family could work with. Because everything that I've been doing up to this point was always taking me away from the family, taking evenings, weekends, whatever, away from the family. And we were wanting something that we could do more, that the family could be involved. And August of last year, it's been a year, we got their newsletter, and we've seen the big list. They had a big list of needs and urgent needs out at New Horizons. And just that time, well, we've seen it many times before, but that time, all of a sudden, it was like, there again, it was an affirmation. It's like God saying, I want you guys to go out with New Horizons. And so that started another journey of preparation and everything. And it's hard to believe that it's here already, but we are so thankful for y'all's support and for the encouragement that we have received. And it's great to see everybody here this morning, and wish God's blessing on you guys as you serve where you are. And he said there's a lot of opportunity available wherever. And just pray that you guys, that you would be faithful where you are, wherever God calls you. Thank you.
Sheila, if you want to come up and join Eric, I have a couple questions to ask as we, as part of the commissioning. Eric and Sheila, do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And do you affirm that as His disciple, you have surrendered your lives to His will? Do you submit to the supreme authority of our Lord Jesus Christ and His commissioning of His church to make disciples of all nations? And do you gladly receive that commission, trusting in His strength, determining to faithfully obey His command? Do you promise to be faithful in prayer and in the study of the Scriptures, to labor in love and loyalty with your fellow workers in the building of God's kingdom, and to walk worthy of your high calling in word and deed? All right. Then to the congregation, I also have some commitments for you to respond to. And I would like you to answer, we do, to each of these questions, if we can coordinate a response here to these questions. First one being, do you recognize the call and commissioning of our Lord to Eric and Sheila to voluntary service? Do you promise, as members of this congregation, to pray for Eric and Sheila on a regular basis? Do you promise to faithfully give financial and material support to assist the work in which the Holy Spirit has called them? All right. At this time, I'm going to ask the parents of Eric and Sheila's parents to come forward, and I'm going to ask you to kneel, and we're going to have prayer for you here. And also the ministry, the rest of the ministry, if you want to come forward as well. And trying to see how big of a group we're going to have up front here. If there's other people within their small group there that would like to come forward and join us as well, I'll invite you to come forward too. And Eric and Sheila, if you want to come front here a little bit and kneel here in the middle, we'll have prayer. All right, I'm going to let it open for a couple of you to pray, and then after a bit I will close.
That you place in front of them, Lord, I pray that you guide them, go with them, Lord, help them to live and to go with the continual awareness of the presence of your Holy Spirit. Lord, pray that you fulfill your spirit as he does your work there, and as he fulfills the role that you're calling him to, that you will guide him, you will give the family protection, you will draw them together as a family as they do this and as they serve you, help them to find ways and opportunities to serve you together. Lord, give them wisdom and protection. And again, awareness of your Holy Spirit and of your leading, and help them to follow you every step of the way. In Jesus' name.
Father, too, I want to thank you for this special moment this morning in Eric and Gila's lives and their family. Thank you, Father, for willingness to listen to your spirit and to respond in a positive way, Father. Thank you for their willingness to lay down their normal life around this area and strike out in a new venture, but knowing that you are there and that you will bless them is a great encouragement. Father, thank you, too, for the willingness of family, friends, and church family behind support them in prayer and love and gifts. Thank you, Father. You're blessing your love, most of all for Jesus, that is available worldwide. It doesn't need to be in this area, but the love of Jesus can, through our lives, as we sang this morning, channels only, that the love of Jesus can be flow out of their lives and follow out also. Thank you, Father, for each one in the family. That we pray a special blessing on Sheila, too, as a companion and supporter there. And each one of your family, Weston and Chloe, and Haley and Dawson, and just pray. Bless them for their willingness to follow your plan. Also.
Father, I thank you for Eric and Sheila. And I thank you for the journey that you have brought them on. Father, you have been faithful in leading them, in drawing them to yourself. And Father, as they venture out in answer to your call, as they travel to Colorado, Father, would you protect them in their journeys out there? And Father, as they do the work of your kingdom there, Father, we ask for their continued protection spiritually, as Satan would love to come and bring division in their work and hinder their work and bring discouragement. Father, we pray that you would put your angels around them and your blood over them to protect from his attacks. Father, would you make their work effective as they serve you there in that part of the world? Would you lift them up in times when they're down, and may they feel your hand on their lives. Father, for their family, Father, for Weston and Chloe and Haley and Dawson, Father, as they're serving you there, and as they need to make new friends and things like that, Father, would you provide the things that they need as young people, that they could know that you care for them too. And so we lift Eric and Sheila and their family to you, and we commit them to you for your care, for your strength. Fill them with your Spirit, Father, in a new way for the work that you've called them to. And it's in Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. Following the service and the Sunday school, we are going to have a fellowship meal, so that will give the rest of you a chance to express your support and encouragement to them as they go. When do you actually begin your journey? Tomorrow morning. All right, so as they travel, you can keep them in your prayers, that God would give them safety on the road as they journey. For the fellowship meal following the service, everyone is welcome to stay. We would welcome you to stay and be a part of that. We encourage you to do that, be a part of the fellowship meal following the service. We do ask for those that are regular attenders here that you keep your children with you. We'd like to give the visitors the opportunity to go through the line first. So for those that are regular attenders, please honor that request, and we do invite the visitors and the guests that are here this morning to go through the lines first downstairs. And maybe the food committee has more announcements on that. All right.
There we go. So yeah, like Randy said, let's allow the visitors go first. We're going to do something a little different since it's a nice day outside. We are going to have everybody go around the side and come in the side doors over here and come in from the outside and then go through the line. We also have a couple tables set up outside. We're thinking the youth can sit out there if there's enough room. But I think that should cover it.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Brian, and the rest of the food committee for the work that they put into that. All right, a couple of other announcements very quickly. Monday evening, tomorrow evening, we have business meeting here at 7 o'clock. Durbin has emailed agendas and things out to you, so you should have them in your email. On Wednesday evening this week, on the 9th at 7 o'clock, Keith, the one who led singing this morning, is going to be sharing on wills here. So we invite you back Wednesday night at 7 o'clock for our prayer meeting time and for what Keith has prepared on the topic of wills and preparing a will. Sunday school reorganization ballots Durbin needs back today. There's also a sign-up sheet for Sunday school teachers for you to choose a class that you would prefer to teach in the coming Sunday school year. So please take a look at that and make yourself available for an opportunity to share God's word with our children and our classes here at church. We're also having a new believers class this fall, so talk to either myself or Josh if
you know of someone or you have a child that would like to be part of that, or you would like to be part of that, please talk to us. There's some youth news there as well, and some birthdays, but I won't take the time to go over that. We do have an offering this morning, and our offering this morning is for Family Harvest Church in Fredericksburg. We've started, so I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward a while, and we'll receive that offering. 4 years ago, a little over 4 years ago, we started a church, a sister church in Fredericksburg, to reach out into the community there. And so we have been giving in support of that work. So we are taking an offering for them this morning to help them out financially as they continue with the church there in Fredericksburg. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for the way that you have blessed us. You have been so good to us. You have given us so much. And Father, this morning, in recognition of that and with thankful hearts, we want to give back to you and to your work and to the work of your kingdom. And so, Father, would you take our gifts and would you multiply it, and would you enable Family Harvest to do the work that you are calling them to there in Fredericksburg as they are a light in that community. So we ask your blessing on our gifts here this morning. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. While they're finishing up the offering, is there any announcements that I missed that, or any additional announcements that anyone has? Okay, if not, I again want to thank you for being here this morning, and especially those of you that are visiting here with us. Thank you for being here and for being a part of this service as we send Eric and Sheila as they follow God's call to go to Colorado. Thanks for your part in their life, and may God bless you as you walk with him in the coming week. We're going to dismiss for Sunday school at this point. We typically clear out the benches on my right, first 12 benches. I'm not sure, I don't remember how far back it goes. So if the people on my right could, you can be in the back. We're going to ask the children, or find space to sit on my left here. We're going to have the children come up front here in these benches for a time of singing before we dismiss to their classes. And then after the time of singing, after they just go to their classes, we'll have all the adults come back in here to the auditorium. And Arlen is going to share with us some information and tell us more about New Horizons Ministries, where Eric and Sheila are going, and the work that they are doing with the babies and the ladies there. And I'm not sure what all they're involved in at this point, but caring for babies of prison moms, and then caring for the ladies themselves, I think. And so we'll let Arlen tell us more about that before I get myself in trouble saying something that they aren't doing. Yeah, we'll dismiss for Sunday school at this time to clear off the benches on my right for the children.
Who remembers what the offering this quarter is, this last couple months is for? Not the amount. What it's for. We're doing this Save a Life program, and it's through Christian Aid. Does anybody remember what the monies are for? Okay, it's for nutrition for kids that need it, for supplements and things that they. Does anybody remember what Arlen said this morning about how many kids need that? Or how often someone dies, how kids die because of that? Go ahead, Joe. Every 10 seconds. So we have one more month that we can support this offering and hopefully make a difference in it for the kids that need that. Okay? So at this time, let's pause for prayer, and then I'll dismiss your class. Father God, we just thank you for this opportunity that we have this morning, that we can come into your house and hear from your word, and thank you that we can have Sunday school. We just ask now that you be with each student and teacher as they go to class, and we just pray that this would be a time when we could honor and glorify you, and that we could learn more in our Sunday school class, that you would, that we could be a light here in the Google store or wherever you call us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. 5th, 6th, and 7th can be dismissed down the front. And 3rd, 4th, and 5th can be dismissed out the back.
What are your display frequency at?
First and second can be dismissed down the front. And preschool, you guys, I forgot. After Sunday school, everybody comes back in here and sits with your parents until the fellowship meal is ready. So first and second, you guys can go down the front. Phone. And preschool, you guys can go out the back.
Talking to you, I just unplugged it and plugged it back in. And
okay, and I'll turn it back over to Arlen or whoever for the youth and adult class here.
Like when I came up, my display thing came in from the sides.
Start the video too, it's fine. And it's totally fine, just go ahead with it. Yeah. Thank you.
When I found out I was pregnant with Infinity, I was high, on the streets, on the run from parole.
Well, I found out I was pregnant before I went to county jail from a halfway house. Her dad's like, you know, offering to take her and stuff. But I knew at that time he was still on drugs and DOC himself and everything else.
All I knew was that I'm sober now, and now everything's starting to hit me. Was she gonna have a good home? Was I ever gonna see her again?
I mean, it's not fun by any means seeing your kid in DOC uniform or, you know, having to be watched by, you know, the guards.
From Wednesday to Wednesday is pretty much how I live my life in prison. If I can make it for the next visit, I get to see my baby and I'll be happy. I think that New Horizons is more about the bonding between mom and daughter, or mom and son, you know.
I get to feed her, play with her, tickle her, and the mother instinct kicks in.
There's Bible studies. There's all kinds of things to help you better your life, and I feel like New Horizons has been there all the way. And after being broken for so long, like, I finally, the break finished, like, finally. I actually got baptized in prison. In a gym full of like 350 women.
You know, when she cries right now, she goes to her foster family, which is understandable, but like, I can't wait for her to come looking for me. And I think the more, you know, people there are willing to be out there to take care of someone like Serena that needed it, you know, you're a blessing.
There's nothing but love here and a bond that's connected not only with the child, but with the mom. They're like, well, we have a trailer park that, you know, you could come to with your girls if I need something or if I need help with something. Like, people are just a door knock away, you know. I don't feel judged out here. Like, I kind of feel like a part of the family. It's like a flower blooming, you know. You get to watch the little baby grow up, and you get to watch the mom change, and you get to watch the kid go back to the mom's house. Like, you just get to watch all the good things that you get to pour into the family. It's one of the greatest opportunities to not only help a child in need, but help a mom in need who's struggling.
Without New Horizons or anyone that helps them, Serena wouldn't know her mom. You know, maybe another child out there that doesn't know her parents. It really, it's just simple as that. You're making a huge difference, impact on a child's life.
If every church would just take care of one orphan, there wouldn't be enough orphans for every church. Where are we, or what are we doing? If the church would step up, I think it would make a huge impact.
It's not about how much money I can make here, but it's a difference I can make while I'm here. We can all make a difference in a child's life, one way or the other, you know.
So right now, Serena is in our home, and we don't know how long we will be caring for her. But we do anticipate that in the future we will definitely be getting more children into our home.
The need for these children to have a father figure in their life is so big, I feel. So many children out there without a father, and I'm just like, you can't teach a little kid how to have that father figure. They just want it. If I can just be the dad that I need to be for her, that's my purpose right now. I'm living the dream. Living the dream. I come home from work. When I walk in that door and she's all smiles and happy to see me, that finishes the day. That's like the whipped cream on Sunday.
One highlight is when she started waking up in the morning and I would hear her singing on the monitor. My prayer for her would just be that the songs that we sing over her and the prayers we pray would make a significant difference in her life as she grows up.
We do get to spend the time with Serena and her mother, and we do see a bonding going there, and I feel that it's God's plan to reunite these children with their mother, to have that connection with each other for the rest of their lives.
When she was giving me a hug just now, you know, it's just, that's the best feeling in the world, you know. And I wish they were like a walking manual that could come with Serena when I get her, because they're teaching me so much.
If you're out there and it is laid on your heart to make a difference in a child's life, I would just say don't deny that small voice, that Holy Spirit that speaks to you.
It is a roller coaster at times. It really is. But I don't think I'm ready to get off it right away. This is what we hear a lot is, I don't know how you can do this. You know, take care of a child and then give it back. I never thought I could do this either. But God proved me wrong that you can do it. I feel like it's us being a vessel for God to care for these children, because that's what He would do.
A guy from my youth group, I was hanging out with him and he said he's leaving. I was like, oh, where are you going? And he said, New Horizons. And I was like, isn't that for nannies?
In the thrift store department, you have so many opportunities to minister to other people, where people can come in and, you know, get stuff they need, but also it's an opportunity to minister Christ to people.
I had a good job and I was very comfortable, you know. Like, I go to work, I get my steady paycheck, and I have all my friends I hang out with on the weekend, you know, life is great. But it wasn't. I knew I was avoiding God's call. I knew that He wanted me to go somewhere, I knew. But I was just too comfortable. And so when I heard that I could go to a place that works with kids and prison ministry, I was just like, wow, like, and they have spiritual growth, like they have programs for the VSers, I was like, ka-ching!
The opportunities are endless here. There's training, there's people who want to come alongside you and to mentor you. This is a place where, yeah, you can grow spiritually, but you have to put the effort forth. You have to remember, when you're coming out here, and you're coming to serve, not to be served.
Too many times people view this place, or like the thrift stores, as just like, oh, clothes and dishes and like, oh, so like, I'm a guy and I'm going to come out here and I'm just going to get like a piece of paper towel and like wipe a piece of glass. But it's so much more than that. There is actually like some pretty hard work that goes on here. It's not just, you don't just sit around and clean like household items.
Even though my work might not be seen as much, but the behind the scenes work is what's very important. Back home I was in construction, and sometimes I feel like I'm more exhausted working at a thrift store or working with 20 people than I did when I was really working hard back home.
What they do not only makes it possible for me to do what I do in prison, but for the whole mission to do a lot of ministry here in Canyon City.
I moved to Canyon, and when I got here, I was like worried, you know, I have two girls now. So when I got a job at the thrift store, it was like a blessing, because that was one stress I didn't have to worry about.
Make sure you're ready to come out here and to put away every bit of yourself and be ready to give it all to God and do anything that He asks you to do.
Fremont County hosts 13 federal and state prisons, which house over 9,000 inmates. Matt is a chaplain at one of these prisons and leads the Chaplain's Apprentice Program, a training opportunity for young men who want to change lives by sharing the gospel with inmates.
The privilege of sitting down with men day after day, walking alongside them through their hard times, through their trials, through their pain, and watch the Holy Spirit start ministering and using me as a vessel, you can say, but ultimately him doing everything. More like I'm on the sidelines, just watching him work. This year, seeing six or eight men who are about like the thief on the cross at the last minute give their life to Christ and die with a smile on their face. There is demonic warfare in the prisons day after day after day. A lot of these men have been involved in things that you and I have never heard of. We grew up sheltered. They did not. Telling them that Jesus loves them, telling them that you need to read the Word, is awesome. But there ultimately comes a time before they're going to walk in freedom that you got to walk alongside and use the authority and power of Jesus Christ that is available through His death and resurrection. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities and powers of darkness. And that's reality in prison. And it's actually reality out of prison too, if you're willing to go there. If you want to be a volunteer and come in every once in a while, anybody can do that. Anybody. I want to see everybody come in. When you give yourself to other people, when you start pouring the love of Jesus into other people, God starts doing a work in your own heart.
The prison ministry has been a huge blessing. That was something I actually never did until I got out here. It was something I was very hesitant to do, but it ended up being just a huge blessing, seeing guys who are, you know, they look big and tough on the outside, but on the inside, they're hurting. Every time I go in there, I am extremely blessed.
God has called all of us to be part of changing lives. We each have unique opportunities in our own community to make a difference. What are you called to change? I invite you to join us through prayer, giving your time, or financial support.
We say that we would die for Christ, but would we really? Like, we want comfort. When you step out of your comfort zone, God's going to be right there. It stretches you, and sometimes it can hurt, but in the end, it's amazing.
God can take you farther than you ever expected to go and take you places you never expected to be if you're willing to open your hands and surrender and allow Him to direct your life. So if you do open your hands and tell God do whatever you want to do with you, just put your seatbelt on. It's going to be a ride.
It'd just be interesting to know how many of you have already been to New Horizons, have visited out there at some point or another. Oh yeah, a whole bunch of you. All right, very good, very good. I've never been anywhere in my life where there are so many opportunities for ministry. It's just amazing to see. We're so blessed of God to be a part of so many different ways. Week before last, we got a call from our local Family Crisis Center asking, could you please babysit children whose mother are going to the hospital to have their baby? I can't imagine living in a place where you don't have any more friends or community or family, like that you'd actually have to get a stranger to take care of your children while you go, for a mother to go have her baby. And so it's just opportunities on and on. And we love stories of redemption when God can step into a situation that's just messy and transform it. And we love that. Childcare is at the core, is at the heart of New Horizons. Making the difference in the life of a child is our theme, our slogan. And we are a child placement agency. So we have, we're able to license, train, foster parents, and then also place children. And those children come from mothers who are in prison. But then we also are able to care for children who are placed through the county as well. Just a huge, huge need for more foster homes. I was just talking with Randall, our agency director, just 2 weeks ago, and he said we'd have double the amount of kids if we had the homes to place them in. So a huge, huge need for foster homes. So child care is kind of the core. Making the difference in the life of a child is at the core. But one of our new venture in child care is to provide daycare, to have a daycare facility. And so we just got approved, our license. We just got our license back from the state that we can start a daycare. So it's good. We're going to start in home, and as soon as we can acquire a bigger facility, we're going to be moving into taking care of more children. If you can't take care of them 24/7, why not do it? Five days a week for 6 or 8 hours. And the staff that are leading this venture, they just have a huge passion. And when I listen to them talk, it's like they're getting ready to start a Jesus Academy. Like these little children are just going to get indoctrinated. And so excited about that. Prison ministry. I'll talk a little bit more about the if we're going to care for the children, then of course we're going to try to minister to the parents. Because our goal, our vision is to reunify whenever possible. We want to reunify that child back with the parents. So I'll talk a little bit more about that in relation to what Eric and Sheila will be doing. Prison ministry is something that came out of the visitation program. Each week we take the children in to see their parents, but each week except 1 week of the month. We don't go in, but all the rest of the time we go in and take the children in. And because of that, relationship with the Department of Corrections, they opened the door wide open to us, just saying, you guys write the program, whatever you feel like you can offer us, you write the program, we'll do whatever we can to make it happen. And so the Chaplain Apprentice Program was one of those programs. We also do, I think in any month is maybe like 8 Sunday morning services in different prisons. We have a Bible study in a number of different prisons. And one of the things that just recently we were able to start a women's Bible study in one of the women's prisons that's about 45 minutes away. And so that's another huge blessing. And just been able to provide a part-time chaplain to that women's prison as well. So we're excited about the work that happens in prison. Sports activities are a big thing in prison. A lot of times they'll have a tournament, a softball tournament, basketball tournament, something like that, and then whoever wins the tournament gets to play the outside team. And so we get to go in, and usually the first game is us against them, you know, and there's this rival thing going, and then we can actually where we divide up and play together. And it's amazing, especially for those of us who can go in and sit on the bleachers and just sit beside guys that would never come to chapel. And you're able to minister and reach out to them in that way. Prison is an amazing place to do ministry. And in territorial, in the prison where Matt is chaplain, there's a church there. There's an incarcerated church. And just to get to know those guys, they know the Bible better than I do. And just one brother that got to know very well, Mike Freeman. Yeah, a host of things that he did wrong in his past. Shot a cop, drugs, the whole scene. And he was a clerk for Matt in prison. And I would go in, whenever I go in and I'd come through the doors right away, he goes, oh, he said, you didn't get a felony yet. He said, if you just get a felony, you can come in and hang out with us all the time. That's kind of the relationship that we had. Dear brother. And just yesterday morning, I got word that Mike Freeman passed away. He was doing about 9 or 10 months ago. He was doing his health was very poor, and God miraculously healed him, at least for a time. And just knowing that Mike's not going to be in there anymore, just a hard. Him and Matt worked very closely together. These guys are dear brothers, and look forward to seeing them in heaven. One of the things that that Matt talked about was. 7 or 8 guys gave their heart to the Lord last year right before they passed away. The facility that we're in, or one of the facilities that we're in, all the prisons send their guys that are on hospice or going on hospice to that facility. It's amazing. We didn't know that when Matt started being a chaplain there. And so Matt gets a notice, another guy's coming in on hospice, and he gets to go down there and administer to them just days or weeks, just a short time before they're passing. And I get this visual of Matt, Chaplain Matt. It's like he's playing goalie in the gates of hell. I mean, if he can just grab another, quick get another one before he goes in. And just, just some wonderful stories of what God is doing there. One of the guys that's in the chapel actually worked, is on the worship team. Older gentleman who about 2 years ago surrendered his heart to the Lord totally. He was living a homosexual lifestyle, and I don't understand how they do this in prison, but he was actually allowed to bunk with his partner. And when Tennyson came forward that night and surrendered his heart to the Lord, he knew that night he was going to have to go back to his partner and tell him it's all over. It was about 2 years ago, and his partner was just in the chapel this past week, and he abandoned that lifestyle, and he moved out of that cell. But just this past week, he came in to talk to Chaplain Matt, and he said, "I have tried everything I could." He said, "I thought I could get anybody I want, but I've tried it with Tennyson," and he said, "He said that he is a changed man, and I want what he has." Praise the Lord. For that. So yes, prison ministry again is something that we're very, very close to. and do a lot of work, a lot of focus in. I think we have like 63 or 64 volunteers, New Horizons staff that are volunteers, so that go into prison. So even if there are guys or girls in the dorm or pickup and delivery or thrift store staff or office staff, most of us are involved in the prison work, kind of on the side. And then if we're going to care for the children, we're going to minister to their parents as well. We want to do everything we can to prepare them for that child come back. And that's really the area of the ministry that Eric and Sheila will be working with these women who just broken. As they share their life story, you know, I can't imagine what would my life look like if I would have been through 43 foster homes as a child. Things that I couldn't dream of, you know, parents selling or prostituting their child for their own drug habit, like these moms, that's what happened to one of our moms. Just hearing the brokenness and to reach into those lives and touch them. You know, for us, we hear a statement like your heavenly Father loves you and wants you to be a part of His family. You know, we're trying to minister to them. We say something that sounds so good like that, and we have no idea what we just communicated to them. When they hear Father, Heavenly Father, like, who's a father? He beats me up. He takes advantage of me. Whatever. And family, every time the family gets together, we fight. Like, that's one of the things our moms often over holidays, somehow in their cycle of life over holidays is when they have some of the biggest struggles, the biggest challenges. You know, so family, like, why would I, what's up with family? And my Heavenly Father loves me. Every time somebody told me they love me, they took advantage of me. And so as you try to minister to the moms, there's so many barriers, even cultural barriers. They look at us and they think, my goodness, you guys are perfect. I'm messed up. Why would you even want to spend the time with me? So through all those barriers. And I just so appreciated some of the comments that were made this morning, just recognizing the battle that Eric and Sheila, you'll be jumping into and being a part of, that we can battle together. Because the enemy doesn't want to let these women go. There's generations of addictions, generations of crime, and we step into those places and do whatever we can to make a difference. Doing prison ministry, going in and ministering to people in prison, that's great. Taking children into your home and ministering to them, caring for them, it's good. But they said it was going to be loud. I didn't know it was going to be that loud. But ministering to these moms takes it to a whole other level. You know, when we mess up, most times we can say, I'm sorry. Sorry I spoke that way. I'm sorry that I did this. And for the most part, that, you know, that can kind of take care of it. When these moms mess up, it's big. Pregnant again. What happened? Oh, well, I just, you know. They caught another 6 months. It's big. And journeying alongside them. You know, how would Jesus respond in those situations? You know, I heard recently a definition of grace comes from the words of Jesus. And He says, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. And that's really, you know, neither, as we work with these moms, that's really the heart of it, is we don't condemn you. Where would we be if we'd have went through the same situations? But go and sin no more. What are the tools that we can give to make them successful? And so this area of the ministry, even though that's been a part of the ministry from the beginning, really feel like it's time to take it so much further. We have Bible studies in prison each week before visits. We minister to the moms that work at the thrift store. We have Bible studies there. There's a lot that is done, but it's more individual with each of the moms. And we're looking for to create more structure and more of a program that the moms can come into. At this point, we don't take moms straight out of prison. We ask them to go somewhere, and do a halfway house before moving to Oasis, to the mobile home park. But we don't know what the future holds. Just a lot of opportunity, and I'm looking forward to seeing how God will lead through Eric and Sheila in that way and provide more tools for these moms to be successful. If you would like to know more or have questions, there's different things in the on the table in the back. Maybe first of all, we put together a little prayer card for Eric and Sheila, and we have a bunch of them on the table in the back. If you haven't had one of these or gotten one of these, feel free to pick it up. They will need your prayer and that their reminder. So these are on the back, and you can pick those up. If you have any other questions or want to pick up some more of the information that's back there, some brochures, the video that we watched today is on the back in DVD form. You're welcome to do that. Although our primary purpose and focus at New Horizons as it relates to children is reunification, that doesn't always work. And I don't know what your heart here is for adoption, but if there's anyone here that would like to has interest in adoption, but you don't know where to start, and you think it's expensive, right? And where does the money come from? There's an organization in Ohio called Pure Gift of God. One of the ones that leads that organization is also on our board. Great place to start. They can give you information and counsel on domestic or international adoptions. They can also help out financially. So that's just a big blessing. Prayer cards in the back. We have all of the children of all the private placements that are in our care. We can't put the county place children's prayer cards out. But pray for these children. They have a calling on their life. God knit them together. And then on the back of the prayer cards are staff needs. Excuse me, some of the different needs that we have in our staff currently. We also have a guys and girls discipleship program for all the youth that come. And so guys discipleship includes a hiking trip. The guys are included in leadership team meetings. They help out with the budgeting, do whatever we can to prepare the guys for life. We also have a girls discipleship program that we just kicked off, and it's kind of specialized for the girls. So there's information of that in the back as well. But back again to your support of Eric and Sheila. Send them texts, encourage them, bless them. It's not an easy part of the ministry. We're going to do what we can to support and give them the tools that they need. But you guys, you hold a special place in their heart. And a text from you or a note from you is just a big deal. One of the things that was asked in the commissioning was about will you support? I think there was some financial will you support financially? On the back of the card is a little note of how you can support financially, and you can do that two ways. If you want to give them a gift directly, like, go for it. That's excellent. But if you want to give it through the ministry, legally we can only give you a tax receipt if it comes through for their compensation. So if you would like to help out to offset the compensation, that you're welcome to give that through the ministry. And gifts are welcome anytime. Right, Eric? So it's been good being here this morning. God bless you for the work that you're doing here. God bless you for your support of Eric and Sheila. We look forward to having them coming out and come and visit them. I'm sure they will appreciate that. God bless you all.